Lewis, yes.
Lieutenant
this is Brian Lewis calling from Tikrit, Iraq.
Hi, how are you? I'm Dean Chaloup. I'm a reporter with the National Telegraph and our Associated Milford Cabinet. I appreciate you taking a few minutes here. You're in Tikrit right now?
I am.
Okay. What outfit are you stationed with?
The unit is the 321st. Kind of a mouthful. Expeditionary Mission Support Advisory Group. We shorten that to just its initials, EMSAG, and we say it MSAG. Over.
MSAG. Okay, I got it. Thank you. How long have you been deployed?
I left the States in June of 2010 and arrived here in Tikrit on the 1st of July 2010.
Okay, how long is the tour? Is it a two-year tour?
No, fortunately, it's just a one-year tour, so I do expect to be home back in the U.S. by the end of June of 2011. Over.
Oh, okay. All right, end of June. Okay, was this your first deployment?
Actually, yes, it was my first deployment. Over.
Okay. Okay, great. So, do you still live in Amherst?
My parents live in Amherst, and I lived there until I graduated from high school. But I'm stationed in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and during the deployment, my wife and children are living in Georgia. Over.
Oh, okay. So they're living in Georgia. That's your home then?
I guess for lack of my dad was in the Air Force, and home is what the orders read. So right now, I would say my home is Tikrit, Iraq. But yes, my immediate family is in Georgia, and my parents are there in Amherst. Over.
Okay, so your parents continue to what are their names? Your parents' names?
Bill and Betty Lewis.
Okay. Did you graduate from Sauhegan?
No, I guess that tells you how old I am. I graduated from Milford Area Senior High.
Oh, my
goodness.
It's
called MASH.
Yeah.
In, Milford. I graduated there in 1990.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just a couple of years before Sauhegan came along. So, did you join the service after high school?
Yes, I attended the United States Air Force Academy. I went there 13 days after I graduated from MASH, and I've been in the Air Force ever since.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. So, were you stationed in various locations, presumably over that time and so forth, and then leading to your current, being stationed at the base in Grand Forks?
That's correct. I've had many duty stations, and I was in Grand Forks for 2 years. I was a squadron commander for a force support squadron. And at the conclusion of my two-year command tour, I volunteered to come to Iraq to be the deputy group commander for the MSAC. Over.
Okay. Okay, great. When you and your unit first got word of the attack upon the compound where Bin Laden was, at what point did you get that news, and what was the general reaction among your fellow soldiers?
I was actually forward deployed at the time. I was at one of the other bases where I have a team. We have six teams that do the base transition team mission, and there certainly was a sense of relief, but we're all very focused on the president's timeline for our withdrawal from Iraq, so we have a lot of work to do, and we did not spend much time dwelling over those events. Over.
I see. Okay. So that's just one more successful mission, toward the end result of completing the job successfully and bringing the troops home.
I would agree with that characterization. We're certainly proud to serve with our brothers in arms who executed a successful operation, but. Like them, there's more work to do today and tomorrow, so we just get down to it. Over.
Right. This. Yeah. Exactly. I'm just writing kind of fast here.
And I wasn't sure if you're recording this or if it is just handwritten notes. So if I have to repeat something, I can. And there's also a personal information form that I had filled out that I presumed that you had access to. That I can send to you if that would be helpful.
That would be great. They did send me one, but it was in a document format that I couldn't open. I wrote back to them, but haven't seen it yet. If that's something you're able to send me, that would be fantastic. It would help.
Yeah. I just changed it to a PDF, and I can send it to you if you tell me your email address.
Okay, it's my first initial and last name. So it's D as in David, S as in Sam, H as in Henry, A as in Adam, L as in Lincoln, and H as in Henry, O as in Oscar, U as in Union, and P as in Paul. And that's at Nashua Telegraph. .com, all one word.
DSHALHOUP at NashuaTelegraph.com.
Correct.
All right, I am hitting send right now. I guess we'll see how quickly the speed of light really is.
Yeah, across oceans. It's easy across town, but let's see what happens across oceans here. Just while we're doing that, did you or your unit, were you privy to any of the plans going into the Bin Laden operation? And were you part of any planning of that in your capacity?
No, we're not. Our unit is focused on advising, training, and assisting the Iraqi Air Force and the Iraqi Army Aviation Command as they take responsibility for air sovereignty here in Iraq. And so that is our day-to-day focus. Over.
Okay. It's the Iraqi Air Force and other troops, did you say?
There's two co-equal services. The Iraqi Air Force is their fixed-wing service, and the Iraqi Army Aviation Command is their rotary-wing service.
Okay, Army Aviation Command. So those two units are what your unit is charged with training for when they take over and defend, as you said, their sovereign nation.
That's right. Air power in support of their sovereignty.
Right. Okay. Do you see? Was the trend toward perhaps the troops starting to perhaps come home before the Bin Laden? Or was that operation and the success of it was kind of looked upon as a big boost in the timetable perhaps you know, of the ability of American troops to come home?
From my perspective, here since last June, I was here when we transitioned from Operation Iraqi Freedom to Operation New Dawn, and we certainly have seen a dramatic reduction in U.S. forces here in Iraq over that time. But in terms of impact of this on future plans, I have no information on that. Over.
Okay. So nobody said, okay, we got him, now you can come home. I mean, obviously that's very simplistic, but that's pretty much, you know, what it boils down to. There's no official word. It's way too soon, I think, perhaps, that it would have any, you know, effect on any plans at this point.
Right. The president, as commander-in-chief, has committed U.S. forces to a timeline here in Iraq that right now tells us the 31st of December of 2011, all the U.S. forces will be gone by then. And so we have just a short time left in front of us to provide as much advice and training to the Iraqis as we possibly can. And our goal is to do just that up until it's time for us to go. Over.
Okay, so that's right now the projected date to have the troops home from Iraq.
Yes, that's the date of the stated in the security agreement between the governments of Iraq and the United States, and I believe that we're on track to comply fully with that international agreement in accordance with the orders of our president. Over.
Okay, I'm just writing again. It probably would have been smart for me to record it somehow just for ease, but yeah, I've been doing this so long, I'm just pick up a pen, you know.
Sure, I know, I can appreciate that.
Yeah. So would I estimate your age, mid-30s?
I wish. Very close. 39 now.
39. Okay. I was just doing some quick math with your 90 graduation. Yeah, it's been so 21 years. Yeah. Now, your family, is that somebody from Amherst or Milford who is your wife?
No. I met my wife when I was a student pilot in Columbus, Mississippi.
Oh, okay.
And she's an Air Force brat as well. So my father was in the Air Force, and her father was in the Air Force, and we had a common theme when we met. Over.
Okay. Do you mind giving me your name and your children's names? If you don't, I understand, but if you'd like to.
Her name is Joy, and we have three children, Joshua, Ian, I-A-N, and Eliana. E-L-I-A-N-A.
Oh, okay. And what are their ages?
Nineteen, 10, and 3.
Oh, okay. Starting with Joshua, Ian, and Ileana.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Okay. Well, that gives me a good summation. The morale, just in general, I think is pretty good these days. How's things seem to you, you know, at present?
I would say that the 321st MSAG, the unit for which I'm the deputy commander, we have 6 teams and 1 squadron spread out across Iraq, and I would say universally morale is quite high. The folks that I work with enjoy their mission. The advise, train, assist mission is very rewarding as we work with our Iraqi counterparts. We have the privilege of spending hours of our day, almost every day, with our Iraqi counterparts and sharing with them our skills and our techniques and various means of problem solving. And as a result, morale of our unit, I would say, is about as high as any unit could ever be. Over.
Oh, that's great. And they seem to be encouraged in picking up the training that you're providing them. They seem to be becoming more skilled because of your training. I would estimate.
In general terms, I would say the younger generation is doing a very good job of learning what it is that we're training them on, of accepting our advice and trying it our way. There is some cultural inertia and some generational inertia where some of the leaders that we work with are certainly older, and they're familiar with a very different style of leadership and a very different style of process. And so overcoming that cultural inertia with some of the senior leadership is a challenge. But by and large, the younger guys on whom the Air Force and the Army Aviation Command will rely are picking it up quite well.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Well, good. That's great, Brian. I really appreciate it, and I thank you for the time. Is there anything I didn't ask that you'd like to add?
I'd ask if that email had come through yet. And if it did you want to look over that real quick and make sure you didn't miss an angle you wanted to ask about? Over.
Okay, let me see. I have got one. Let's see. I got one from Tiffany McCall. Her name wouldn't be on the one you sent. She's the individual down at the Encompass Digital Media people that facilitated this. So she was just resending what I had asked. I haven't seen anything else. It's very possible. It just takes a little bit of time. I'm going to refresh here and see if that makes any difference. Let's see. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but what she resent me might very well do it. Let me just try to open that as we speak. Okay, what she sent me is probably the same thing. It's a personal information form, and it gives your name and then some bullet points and then some questions. Is that what you were sending me?
Right.
Okay, well, that's it then. Yours will probably come in at some point as a PDF. Maybe that's why it's a little delayed. But if, if this is the same thing, fantastic. I got it. So that's great.
Okay, good. I'll give you a second to look over it, make sure there isn't something you key on you want to ask about, and then I'll give you a kind of closing remarks.
Okay. Military job. This is good. In civilian terms... Oh, that's fantastic. Between what you told me and what it says here, the family separation is addressed here. Let's see. So, yeah, it mentions you lost 25 pounds by eating better, working out more. Oh, my goodness, you're a Yankees fan.
Yeah, I apologize for that in some way. I moved to New Hampshire when I was... I guess about 13, and I tried being a Boston Red Sox fan until that ball rolled through Buckner's legs and they lost the World Series, and I went back to being a Yankees fan, and I'm sorry, I've never looked back.
Well, that whole season, yeah, I don't tell many people, but I was born here in Nashville and grew up as a Red Sox fan, but then as an adult, I kind of changed over the Yankees just kind of for fun, and now I guess I'm a Yankees fan too, so it's it's a nice mix, it's a lot of fun. Were you born down in the New York area?
I was not. I was born at Andrews Air Force Base near Washington, D.C., but both of my parents are New Yorkers, and so as a child, I would go to New York City regularly. I'd go to cities around the city, and so being a New Yorker is, I grew up as a New Yorker in absentia, basically, and that's the link to New York.
I see. That doesn't extend to the Knicks and the Jets. The Giants are okay, but it doesn't extend to the guys, does it?
No, if I had to follow basketball, I would be following the Celtics, and I follow hockey, and, well, I try. Here, the time difference, it's not easy, but pleased that we beat Montreal. The Bruins beat Montreal this year, and they're in the next round.
Yes. And now it's the same as last year. They're up 3-0 against Philly, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. Philly isn't what it used to be, though. They're not
no.
the toughies, the old Broad Street bullies from the old days. Well, good. I think this information form gives me a lot of good background. And, you know, if you have, you mentioned closing comments here, that would be great.
Well, and it kind of goes to one of the last questions, what makes you unique, and what we're doing, what the air advisors are doing, and the air advisors that I get to lead here in Iraq are doing is helping their air force, their air forces, build a better country. And I'm very proud to have served over here during both Iraqi Freedom and Operation New Dawn. To see our partners improve, to see progress being made. The American people still have almost 50,000 troops over here, and there's still a mission to do up until the end of the year. And so certainly appreciate your readers knowing that we're still busy and that we're working really hard with our Iraqi partners, and our Iraqi partners are taking up the stick, if you will, taking the baton from us, and we'll be able to continue into the future. Over.
Right. Beautiful. Okay. Well, that's fantastic. That sums it up quite well. And again, I do thank you for your time. And what's the weather where you are like now? Is it presumably warm?
It is definitely getting warmer. It was in the 90s today, a little bit overcast and a little bit humid, which is unusual. It's usually very, very dry. But the spring has been wonderful weather. It's very nice here in the spring, but the hot weather is now coming, and it will be brutally hot and very bright.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's that. Yeah, I'm sure the springs are shorter and the summers are longer than we're used to in these parts, for sure. But well, this is great, Brian, and I again appreciate the time. And presume that PDF eventually comes through, if you think of anything and want to shoot me another email, feel free to do that.
That sounds great, Dean, and if something comes up or you need a follow-up question, feel free to use that email, and I will answer you back.
Okay.
And do you have a particular runtime in mind for this, or we'll see how it goes? Over.
It's right now it's going to run probably, it will either be tomorrow, Saturday, or Sunday's Telegraph, and then the Cabinet, of course, is a weekly, which comes out on Thursday, so it'll be in that one, too, on this coming Thursday.
Okay, great. And I guess I did not realize that the two papers were related. How long has that been the case? Has it always been that way?
No, it hasn't been. It's been since 2005. The Roach family, of course, it owned the Cabinet for many, many years, and they decided they'd sell. And we, the Telegraph parent company, bought it you know, as opposed to, so I guess one of the main reasons was defensive, so the union leader would not buy it. But so yeah, we've been you know, struggling to maintain both in an era when budget cuts causes the, you know, reduction in personnel, but we're still managing to keep them all afloat at this point. And that's, so it's been about 6 years that we've been affiliated.
Okay, great. I thank you for sharing that background. I was not aware of that.
Glad to do it. And thank you again, Brian, and best wishes to you and everybody.
Awesome. Thank you very much. I sure appreciate it. Best of luck to you too, Dean.
Thank you.
Out here.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.